You were last seen in town on Sunday a week ago, performing at the local Matariki celebrations on Sunday evening. And overall, how do you feel the event went? I thought there were maybe 400 or 500 people came through that evening, so that's quite significant for a winter's evening.
Yes, I think people in Whangaroa were ready to come together and to with curiosity and to come out of their own environments, and also because the way that everything had been, how do you say, arranged by, you know, led by Raglan naturally, and a group of very dedicated people within that rōpū to close off part of the street. I think that was a really important thing to be able to do.
Mm.
Probably quite a major thing to enable the community to to use the roadways and that part of the roadway in a different way. Because it's usually, in my experience, and I've limited, you know, 7 years experience, but that's only made available, that space, in terms of community during ANZAC.
Yeah. Yeah, and the New Year's parade.
As a parade situation,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So this time it was very different. You know, we weren't paying attention to that type of kaupapa, that type of event. And this was also a lot of curiosity around the significance of Matariki and what does Matariki mean? What does it even mean? What are we talking about? So, brand new knowledge for many people to come to understand, and that will take some years, I would say, for that to unfold, you know, because it really was to do with the celebration, in essence, of a cluster of stars, Te Kahu Whetū or Matariki, that comes into our night, morning, our skies. But it's not also specific to us. It is known, has been known about for thousands and thousands of years, and known, more commonly known as Pylades.
So perhaps to, like, you know, help people understand, because we're talking about everyone's learning more about Matariki, what you were doing it wasn't really on stage, but in the performance space near the start of the community celebration.
Yeah, I decided that it was important to bring the Kodi gun. One of the... We're much more used to incense, a type... incense, you know, which is generally from India. Our Kodi gum belongs to this land, and the Kodi gum was to used in a particular way to purify, to whakanoa the space in that, without being intrusive or feeling that it wasn't appropriate. It felt very appropriate to bring it into our community space, because there was also, you know, a ceremonial aspect to how to acknowledge this gathering and what the Kodi gum offers to us in terms of healing. It has healing qualities. And it's used in different settings. People may not be aware of that, but it is used by different practitioners who know how to use the Kodi gum, because it's not like Kodi's everywhere. I'm hoping that it doesn't become an item that is saleable. Well, it probably already is. You know what I mean? But because it'll be sought after for its qualities to heal at a different level. You know, given the times that we're in extraordinary times where grief and pain and loss are still a key factor within our being as a human being, and Kairigam can go some way to assisting the healing of that. And paired, of course, with the rising of Matariki and then the discussion that Matua Sean gave about one of the Whetu, the eldest child, eldest star, Pohutukawa.
I was... I'm probably the worst person to be asking you questions, because even though I was there, I was snarled up in technical difficulties with radio station stuff at the time. So I observed you doing things, and I did observe the Kairigam, the incense. But can you tell us more about what you were doing?
So I also aligned what I call the a small offering about some of the whetu with one of the taonga pūoro, so a traditional Māori instrument. There's been a huge revival of those instruments, and there are so many practitioners now coming forward to assist us in going forward with our healing journey. In a sense, it's to understand that what these different instruments offer, because they're not sounds, they're more organic, the sounds of these instruments. They've been around for a very, very long time, but they haven't been so much in that public arena as I was sharing them. The pūrerehua, and the kōwauō, you know, and being able to use project the sound through the microphone. I would have liked a head-held microphone, but that might, hopefully that will happen next time. Having a static mic can be is quite challenging. But
can you, for people who weren't there, can you tell us what those instruments are, what they're made of?
Yes, so the wooden ones are made from native timber, the kōwauō, which is a flute-like instrument, and has four holes in it. There was a wooden kōwauō. There was a pūpū harakeke, which is a shell which is found specifically on the on harakeke. It's a white shell, and it has a very piercing sound, that one. Then there was the pūrerehua, which is a wooden instrument, flat, kind of like a surfboard that is swung on a long cord,
yeah,
as well, and it swirls, and as you turn it above, you know, you're spinning it above your head, it makes a very specific catching the wind, the ho, Pāwhiri Mātia, and has its own peculiar sound as well, depending on the speed of at which you actually do that circular movement. Porotiti, oh no, I didn't use that. That's right. I had several instruments available,
yeah,
but I also wanted them to share the story, in a sense. So their language could be heard. Being, you know, most people will be quite unfamiliar with the sounds of a variety of these instruments. Some of them are blown, you know, they're wind instruments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were saying to me off the air that nationwide Matariki was a kind of a forum for a lot of people to do what you were doing, which is to introduce the instruments to the community.
Yes, I think there was a keen attention was paid also to pre-dawn. The whole timing of being present and together pre-dawn, so that then that also that attention could be paid to those who had recently passed on within the last year. That was an important aspect of any of the ceremonies, to first of all acknowledge that, and that could be expressed freely in terms of those who were present could also express their grief and sadness freely, and were not unhindered to do so, because it, you know, the dawn hadn't arrived, and so it's also a really, really important time in Te Ao Māori for the expression of that, to enable us to heal, for healing. So, and then there was a lot of karakia, so a lot of attention to the sacred invocations and bringing those back into focus, so that we could feel that there was, we were, you know, paying attention to more than the physical being that we are, those aspects. I think it was a very sacred time to see the revival of many of these ancient karakia that were being used and spoken when there were a lot of people present who took themselves to these ceremonies and were quite happy to experience the way that they unfolded, because there was also the eating of food together, generally a hāngi, which sounds... We didn't have a hāngi at ours.
No, we didn't. Not in the main street.
Not this year.
Yeah.
But maybe next year we'll actually unfold that way.
Yeah. So I'm interested from your perspective as someone who knows about Matariki. It's the first year that it's an official holiday in the country. And from your perspective, how did it unfold? I mean, was it accurate to the traditions of Matariki? Is it kind of combining into a modern form? Because there's lots of modern things that can happen now.
Modern?
Well, like bands playing, you know, like we had here and things like that.
A band?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Probably those are the things that we'll learn about as time goes on, because Matariki really was we've become so used to the Gregorian calendar to outline for us what day it is and how we should be, what we should be doing on this day, you know. It's not the weekend, it's a weekday, and it is, we've been taught so much through the Gregorian calendar. If we pay attention to Matariki, it's offering actually a very different way of relating to our daily life and the type of training that can come from paying attention to what is a natural cycle, as opposed to a one that's been created, and that's going to take some time, but it definitely has long-term benefits as we pay attention to something of such significance as Te Kāhui Whetū or Matariki. We can make those alignments and realise that, oh, so it's good to be more quiet now. And then at the time, you know, and get ready for the spring planting, and do that planning. Those things that it's not time to go out yet. It's not, you know, that's a natural cycle. And we don't do that. There's nothing about the current calendar that we use, Monday to Sunday, gives us any information like that at all.
Yeah. I'm interested in like watching over my lifetime the renaissance in Māori culture. There's a lot of effort to find out how things used to be done and get that right. And I guess after a while, you know, cultures always evolve, and bringing Matariki in as a public holiday for everyone in Aotearoa, it probably is going to evolve. And I don't know, I'm just interested in your thoughts on that, because we're taking a tradition that was from a quite a different culture, and suddenly we're trying to do it here in a modern culture. And there's going to be, I guess, some tension around that, and some, I don't want to say accommodation. It's more like just trying to blend it the two cultures together, and trying to keep the intent of Matariki. How do you see that all working?
Yeah, well, I think that's up to us as a community and how we express that, you know, and what is it we are wanting to know about Matariki, what's our attention,
yeah.
And giving, and looking at ways of telling those stories. You know, it's always going to be a commercial aspect. It won't be long before you see, you know, that played out.
Mm.
But it may not make such an impact on us if we keep returning to the intention of what Matariki is about, bringing the community together, singing waiata together. So one of the things I was hoping and am still hoping is that we have a shared story, and we also have a waiata that we know as a community about Matariki. And that those types of things evolve.
Mm.
So we have this little waiata that, not little waiata, but naming the stars of Matariki. And that's got to be a good thing, because it means we have a shared story. And
yeah.
It's from this land as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think most of the public holidays that we've had have kind of lost their meaning to most people, especially, a lot of them are based around the Christian tradition, which not a lot of people follow anymore. But even Christmas has turned into a commercial feast and not necessarily much else. I think a lot of people are quite interested in having something that's meaningful, and I think there's a lot of interest because of that.
Yes, absolutely. And I think makes it meaningful if we keep grounding it and saying, oh, let's have a hāne. Oh, who's going to do that?
Right, yes.
You know, so that's quite a big deal, but it's possible, you know, like if it's meant to be. And then, that presents another whole set of learning that if we do it, you know, go back to the original ways that hāngis were done, and then share that as a community, it's got to be good for us, you know. That'll be really a wonderful opportunity to give us more of a cultural life, a life that we're actually sharing platforms and trying to find out how we can actually engage in this in a more genuine way. But it will evolve.
Yeah.
It will evolve.
It will, yeah. So, folks, we're talking to Ngaronoa Renata, and we're just reflecting on Matariki, but you also wanted to, this morning as part of our Kairongoa segment, talk about puha. Was that correct?
Yes, I do. I may have also talked about it before, but it's very present in the Māra. It's sour thistle. It's a, and it's very, has particular bitter taste. It's not, not everyone may even be able to recognise it. And I would love to see, going forward, that we actually value it more. It has some important healing properties that it can offer to us in terms of its iron. Drinking the juice of the puha, eating the puha once it's been cooked, it's such a nourishing food. You know, we tend to, what I would call, go towards silver beet and spinach.
Oh, I don't like either of those.
Yeah, and we tend to do that. And so we've lost any interest in the puha. The puha sits, it's unattended and it's not given any attention and not considered, you know, like a, oh, that's cool, we've got puha growing. And we're also losing the taste for it. So that's a shame. But the milky sap from the puha, when you break the puha when it's growing and it's got the actual leaf, it was used to cure warts.
Okay.
The white milky sap. But when it is cooked and softened through steaming, it is very rich in iron and very good for you. So in that way, so. Yeah, I guess people might go, oh, you mean pork bones and puha. Well, that's one way.
Yeah.
Not everyone will, you know, wants to eat the meat, but it definitely is, that's one way.
Where do we normally find puha?
It's probably everywhere, and we just don't, where do we normally find it? On the edges of the garden, the paths. Once you've got it, I really like it. It goes everywhere here. Well, hopefully,
Can we describe? Can we describe it visually? We're on the radio. Can we do this?
Well, I'm not sure that would be. What does it look like? It looks like nothing else that I know.
It's not a tree? A bush, or is it a little thing? Like, even let's narrow that down.
Oh, so it's very low growing. It's not a bush. It's in the oh my goodness me! Now you've really got me thinking about this because I never really thought about describing it as such. I mean, I can do that, and if you came and I wanted to see it. But it's a small plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and has yellow flowers.
Flowers, yeah. And we would probably be doing our garden and say, oh, that's a weed, get that out of there, maybe, if we don't know what it looks like.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely, that's what you would do. It doesn't have the accolades that that silver beet and spinach have.
And I don't know why those two plants have any accolades, but that's just me.
Oh, well, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's more, you know, that's what people grow, a lot more of those type of greens. Puha doesn't grow tall, and it doesn't take up much space, but it has so much to offer. From a young baby, you know, when they start eating their greens, is to introduce them to puha. It has a bitterness, but it's a beautiful plant to introduce them to.
I've been looking it up on the screen while you've been talking, and it has an English name, sow thistle, which I just noticed. I don't know if that helps anybody. Pin it down.
Yes, that's right. Sow thistle.
Just doesn't sound like a very good name. We'll stick with puha.
And how would you describe it now that you're looking at it? You see, I don't know how to do that.
I honestly think a lot of people would just think it was a weed in the garden and get rid of it. That's really the thing I'm thinking of here. Or mistake it for dandelion or something like that. Its flowers are like dandelion flowers, even if the plant isn't.
Yes, so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a shame.
And so how is it consumed? You cook it up or boil it up or?
Yes, you would cook it just like any of those green vegetables. You can, you know, until it's, but you generally we never harvested when it's flowering, and if you do, you take the flowers out before you cook it, because that makes it very bitter.
Would you put it in as part of a salad? Dare I ask?
Yes, you can do. You can also eat it raw. Yeah, it's absolutely suitable for that as well. Mm. Yeah.
And did you get your kids used to it when they were growing up?
I've eaten it all my life, really. I don't know whether they got used to it. Can't say. I don't recall them offering it to me over the years in their own home.
Right,
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I should do a refresh on that one and check in with them and see what they've... I think the taste buds have moved on,
yeah,
or moved on to much flasher type exotic foods. But I have found myself, I have this quite indigenous flavouring that I enjoy, always will still enjoy it today.
I see someone here is describing it as a superfood, the unsung hero of superfoods.
Oh, yeah, it will become, what's that green that everyone powder that people will, spirulina.
Oh, yes.
It'll become the New Zealand spirulina.
Oh, right.
Somebody will just, it's yet to be discovered in that way, and then it will be powdered. It'll be available in a powdered form, and that's right. What you'll use instead of the spirulina. Yeah, it's definitely that.
Okay. And I just saw this on Te Ao Māori News.
Oh, cool.
This little article, which I was just Googling. I mean, it's actually quite old, this article. It's about 6 years old, but
that's
what it's saying.
Once you gain a love for it, you can almost think, oh, I can't wait to get some puha.
There you go. I don't know if I've... Oh, I'm too old now to remember everything I've done, but I don't remember trying it, even though I'm familiar with it. Like I know the word, and I've... You know, I just know it's part of New Zealand Aotearoa, but you're going to give me some now, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
All right, fair enough. Hey, folks, we're talking to Ngaronoa Renata, and we've talked about matariki and puha, but I also wanted to, just before we go, and that's if you've said everything you wanted to say about puha, sorry.
Yes. Now I'm really inspired. It's such a humble plant. Now I'm very inspired to bring it forward.
So the other thing I wanted to catch up with before we go is what you've been up to, because you missed an interview about 4 weeks back because you were in a film or something. Do you want to tell us about that?
I'm cast in a TV series on Māori TV called Ahikaroa, and I'm Thomas's nan, and I have two more film shoot days up in Tamaki in Alan Henderson. So it's a, I've got lines to learn and make sure I can deliver those lines when I'm being filmed. Yeah, it's great. It's good fun. Lots of young people who speak Māori around me, the whole cast, really, the cast and those who are actually producing Kura Productions, who produce the TV series, Ahikaroa. So I'm really enjoying that exposure and, finding it really, really positive experience.
So is it all spoken in Te Reo if we went to watch it?
No, it's bilingual.
Okay.
But there is a lot of reo in it. Ahikaroa, it's on every week, yes.
Okay, so is it actually running at the moment, or are we sort of between seasons?
I think it's running at the moment. I'm going to have to double check myself with that one.
You're not the publicist. You're not the publicist.
No. I'm pretty sure it's on at the moment.
Oh, here we go. I've just found the Māori television blurb for it. It says, follow a crazy group of city-based rangatahi, their young kura kaupapa raised and dangerously onto it. That's how the marketing people have described it.
Awesome. There you go.
And so is this a regular spot, or are you like a recurring character?
At this stage, I have two more film shoot days before the end of July, and that's probably me for that particular series, unless they want to write me in again in another part.
I was going to say, does your character die? But you can't tell us that, if that were the case. So I won't ask that.
Yeah.
So have you done, is acting a large part of what you've done in your life?
Not as such, not in a formal setting. So, but I wouldn't shy away from it.
Mm.
No, I'm definitely not a regular performer as such, but I definitely, in this case, I feel that I can memorise. That's really important, memorise some. But I have, my daughter has been in the arts, both my daughters, in the arts for a very long time. So aligned with them in the arts in terms of going to theatre, but absolutely this, no, I'm not your seasoned artist, performer.
So I'm just looking it up, like it's been playing through May and June, and it seems to play Wednesdays and Thursdays, like twice during the week.
Yeah, I know, it's definitely, it's pretty popular, apparently.
And is it kind of a soap? Is that the kind of...
Yeah, probably along those lines.
Yeah, there we go. All right, folks, so there you go, Māori TV, I've just looked it up, you guys can all find it on there. And we don't know when you'll appear, though? Like, how far off is that going to be?
No, I don't.
You'll have to let us know. When you find out, let us know, and we'll alert the community.
Absolutely.
That'll be excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. I don't know. Very, very good to talk to you this morning, and nice to reflect on Matariki. And and we look forward, I guess, to next year and seeing how that evolves.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for your time this morning.
Ai, kia hau maru koutou.